Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
Hey, we're so glad that you could join us. We're here with one of my dearest friends in the world, Julia Veach, who pastors Zoe Church in LA. And Zoe Church, pastored by Julia and her husband, Chad, is really making impact around the world. Just started 2 years ago. God's done so much. And we're also on another roller coaster ride adventure together. We're both having babies. How are we pregnant together?
Well, do you want me to explain how we got pregnant?
Our timing was perfect, right?
Yeah, we are. We definitely are on an adventure together.
And how many weeks are you?
I am 27. This is my fourth, so I forget a little bit. And how many weeks are you?
I'm 28. How cool is that?
That's so cool.
I love it. Now,
they're going to be best friends for sure.
They are. Sure. And I know that we're having a boy. Like, we found out that you're going to wait, right?
Yeah, we're going to be surprised this time. So, I don't know. 50-50 chance. What do you 50-50. Think I'm having?
50-50. I don't know, man. And do you know names yet?
Oh, no. That's another adventure roller coaster.
Do you and Chad agree on names? It's hard. Rach and I
come up with a list, and I present them to Chad, and he says no. I present them. We do a presentation, PowerPoint. Stop. No. He says no to all of them, and so I go back to the drawing board. We have not decided on a name, but I think we're thinking something like Richery.
That would just honor that uncle and aunt.
I think Richery is unisex.
So
it can go.
We don't have a name either, but you know, we're thinking Chulia.
Chulia.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. Chulia Wilkerson. I kind of like this. Yeah, it's strong.
But hey, today is really just like a conversation. We're going to have a conversation about family, about ministry, about leadership. Julia's an incredible leader that shares the story of their ministry really around the world. And I'm just so thankful that we get to chat with her today. Thank you for taking the time today to be with us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, I love it. No. So you guys planted Zoe Church in L.A., 3 weeks before?
Yeah, August 23rd.
3 weeks before we planted VU.
Yeah, so exciting.
And the last 2 years have flown by.
Flown by.
What has it been like the last 2 years, this adventure in LA?
I think the first word is fun. I think it's an exciting journey following God, obviously, in any capacity. Fun, absolutely. It's thrilling. It is adventurous.
Yeah.
There's definitely a new level of faith that it requires because we're not church building experts. No one has all the answers. There's a lot of opinions out there, but you're just trying to have faith for following in the way that God wants his church to be. And I think at the beginning, we settled in our hearts that it's God's church and God builds the church. Grace builds the church. So that there's a lot of ease to that. And it makes us enjoy the process more that the number of people that come to each service or who comes to each service isn't determined by a formula or a textbook, but it's
that.
God's church and it's grace that builds it. And so it makes it more enjoyable. It's an adventure for sure, but it's been just over and above what we could ever imagine or think. Chad and I, our favorite scripture together. We have individual favorite scriptures, but our favorite scripture together.
A marriage
scripture, no, is Ephesians 3:20, that it's just been an Ephesians 3:20 life, and it's just been over and above, beyond what we could comprehend.
Wow.
God's been so good to us, and it's just been fun. It's been a really fun 2 years.
And how many services are you doing right now?
We're at five right now.
Five people.
Five.
This woman is doing five services every Sunday. And in the heart of LA, and what I love about you and Chad together is the way that you really are building the church with your entire family. Because you got kids in the house. She has a full house.
Tell us
about your family.
I have three kids. Well, four.
Four.
The fourth is on the way. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
The fourth one is attached. No, I have three. Georgia, she is almost six. She's 5 and a half. And beautiful baby girl, Georgia. Yeah. And then we have our second born, Winston. He's just turned 4. And for his 4th birthday, I asked him what he wanted for his birthday. And he said, I want all the people, Mom. So all the people came over for his birthday party.
All the people.
And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So a week later, it was Chad's birthday. And I asked Chad what he wanted for his birthday. And he said he wanted all of his friends and all of his people to be at his birthday. So we had back-to-back birthday parties with all the people for Winston and Chad. So he's 4 and he's just like his dad in the best way, and we love him.
Yeah.
And his name means joyful stone, so he's joy and strength in our house. And then we have a 2-year-old and his name is Maverick, and his name means independent, and that kid is wild. He's not saved, so pray for him.
Yeah.
But he puts everything that he finds in his mouth. So it's been like a dead fly to tacks to like some really disgusting things. But one Sunday we were walking into church with all my tribe, all my children, and he picked up right there on Wilshire Boulevard, a main street in Los Angeles, he picked up a used cigarette off the ground and walked into church with a cigarette in his mouth. And so I'm like, well, you know, the pastor's wife is bringing a 2-year-old with a cigarette.
A smoking 2-year-old. He's bound to get saved.
Children and ministry, it's bound for funny stories, but we're having a good time. So 5, 4, 2, and 27 weeks.
But I love how you said that. You said you were bringing your tribe into church.
Yeah.
And I love all your
stories. We're adding
to
the children's ministry numbers. Yeah.
You just enjoy every part of it, even the crazy, wild, unexpected moments. I know Sundays, like in our house with 6 kids, I mean, there would be knockdown dragouts before church. And somehow my mom would get us all to church. I don't know how she did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, half of us were, you know, getting dressed in the car and eating in the car, but like she did it. And you've just made it like your home culture that on Sundays you guys are building the house together. What has that been like? How have you done it really? How have you set the course for your home that way?
Gosh. How have I done it? You just do it, I think. You know, you just, whatever assignment's in front of you, you just say yes. Like
But it gets crazy on Sunday mornings, right?
No, I think when James talks about counting it real joy to experience the trial, he's referring to Sunday mornings to a mother to get out the door. And no, we have our fair share of funny stories on Sunday mornings. And I do my best to get there on time and get everyone like dressed and Instagram worthy, but it's not always the case. There's tears, there's emotions, and that's just for me, not the children. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, but there's definitely struggles, and it's like, okay, we're turning the corner, we're pulling into the parking lot, people are walking up to the car, and we're like, okay, kids, like we're just gonna pull it together, and we're gonna make it, and we do. You just do. But it for sure comes with hilarious stories that tests you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm worshiping out of joy, and sometimes I'm worshiping out of desperation.
I am
thankful for Zoe Kids and that check-in that's 30 minutes before the service starts.
Yeah.
I can just go breathe.
What I love about the way that you and Chad approach parenting is you've talked to me about it so many times, and obviously, like, we haven't experienced it. There's so much for us to learn and experience. I learned so much from you talking about parenting, but that you value what your kids are seeing and being a part of, not just the moments where you're sitting down and teaching scripture and being very deliberate, but like, you're so aware, and you've encouraged me that everything you guys do is ministry, and your kids, they pick up on that. That's a huge value in your home, right?
Yeah, our kids love church. Our kids love what we do. They love our life. They love having people over, and they're a part of our journey. They're a part of our story. They're a part of what we do, not only on Sundays, but what we do the rest of the week. And I really value that. I'm like you. I'm a pastor's kid, and Chad's a pastor's kid as well. And we're so grateful that when we started having kids that we were on the same page about bringing the kids along for the journey. So this isn't for everyone, but sometimes my kids do go to 4 services a day, and sometimes it's too much, and sometimes I have to navigate if it's too much. But you just really discern as a mom and as a pastor's wife what works best for the kids, what works best for us, what works best for the health of the home. But they do, they ride the train with us. Absolutely.
I love it. And so you guys were both pastor's kids, and how did you meet? How did that happen? Because you're both from the Pacific Northwest, right?
Yeah. We have a fairy tale story. No.
It was magical.
So Chad and I actually grew up together. I think you know this. Our dads got saved together in college in the 70s.
But I think there's like a moment, right? Which like sparks flew or
Chad's
something.
Chad's story and my story are a little bit different.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me just share it since I have the floor.
Yes, tell me yours.
No, we grew up together, so we knew each other, but this was before social media, so we didn't stalk each other. And he was 28 and I was 25, and we came together for a family Thanksgiving. Our parents were really good friends. So there's 4 kids in my family and 3 in his, and it was the first time in 7 years that all the adult kids were together for Thanksgiving.
She hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other for a while. And he had missed 7 straight Thanksgivings because he was away at college, and I think I missed one for some reason, but we got together and we had a great time. It was one Thanksgiving. We were saying pass the mashed potatoes, and he needed a date to a staff Christmas party. Well, he was the 28-year-old eligible youth pastor in his church, so he didn't want to invite anyone from his church because it would mean something. So he said, I'll invite Julia because she's like a cousin. It's a safe date. It's a safe zone. And we'll just have a good time, and then that's that. You know. So he invited me, and I got in the car, and he says from that night, like, he knew as soon as I got in the car that I was it. So one Thanksgiving, we're eating turkey as friends and family friends, and then the next Thanksgiving, we were married. So it was 6 months and 3-month engagement.
Love it.
And we were married by
the next season. And you've been married 9 years now?
Yeah, we just celebrated 9 years in September.
Incredible. So you guys have lived in the Pacific Northwest, and then it's in Chad's heart or both of your hearts. I want to hear a little bit more about that, like 3 years ago, going, we're going to move our entire family. You had kids at that time. You know, you had a life. Yeah. Going, we're going to move to the heart of LA to plant a church out of nothing. What is that like when you feel that in your heart, like trying to figure out how to navigate it with a family and with responsibilities? And what was that season like for you as you had conversations with God?
Yeah, I remember it was March of 2012 when God first spoke to Chad about starting a church in Los Angeles. He had gone to Bible school in Los Angeles Seminary, and he thought when he left that maybe he would be back. Well, that was 7 years prior, and it was end of March, and he was in a church service, and God just put on his heart heavily that he was supposed to go start a church in Los Angeles. So he tells me first, and I'm of course like on board and pray with him through that decision. And a couple weeks later, we had Georgia at the time. She was just about 4 months, and she would get diagnosed with a rare brain abnormality that really altered our life at the time. So we put it on hold, like many people's dreams and things that God speaks to them. Sometimes they get put on hold. And we waited a whole year to kind of journey and navigate through that season to determine, was that best timing? You know, maybe God sometimes puts something on your heart, but it's not always the right timing.
Yeah.
So we really navigated through what was best in that season and when God was going to reveal when his actual time was. But when we did move down summer of 2014, so a full year and a half later from the time that God first spoke that, we were ready. We knew it was the time. We had 2 kids at the time. And we were excited. We were really excited. And at the time, it was just us as a family, but 30 people communicated that they were supposed to give up their jobs or come move across country or from the Northwest, from all over, to come be part of our plant team. But we started in our living room with 11 people, and we just watched God's hand in all of it. It's been It's been amazing for sure.
Those days are special days.
Yeah, they are. They really.
They're terrifying.
We had donuts at every meeting, so I was happy. Yeah.
Sugar high.
Yeah. You know, just in the house with donuts and the kids.
But watching God bring family after family to bring a community to a city. There's nothing like it. God's done that in LA through you guys. And you talked a little bit about Georgia, who we all adore.
Yeah.
And the story of Georgia's life has gone around the world. And people literally around the globe are praying for her and adore her and celebrate her life with you.
Yeah.
Will you share just a little bit more about your story of Georgia's life and also you walking through, when you have a child, you have expectations.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this journey with Georgia.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, when she was 4 months old, she was our first baby, our first kid. So I was navigating how to be a mom for the first time. When she was 4 months, we went through a series of tests to determine why she wasn't meeting different developmental delays. And on April 10th, 2012, when she was just 4 months old, we got a diagnosis from a neurologist. And I remember that day he slid a piece of paper across the table and he said that Georgia had this condition or this disorder that Chad and I didn't even know how to pronounce, let alone we never even heard of it. But in essence, lissencephaly is a smooth brain. It's a genetic related abnormality. Yeah. And she has a lot of developmental delays. With that diagnosis, he gave us the prognosis that she would never walk, she would never talk, she would never live to this many years, she would never develop past this many months. It was a really devastating day in terms of our daughter's future. But I remember he also looked at us and he began to speak failure over our marriage and say that 70% of marriages don't make it with the stress of this in your home and that you would have to become a full-time caregiver. I think it was really overwhelming. I mean, being a first-time mom is overwhelming in general. Any transition in life, any huge transition in life is overwhelming. And then to navigate, okay, I have a sick kid, which I'm grieving for the dreams that I've had for her life. You know, when I found out that I had a girl, I thought of all the beautiful things that would come with having a daughter. But to grieve over her life, but to also grieve over my life, I was a working mom at the time. I worked in finance for 11 years. I loved serving the church, but I also loved having a job as well. And I gave up my career that day. I actually quit that day because I had to care for her.
That
I had to go
day.
Through a series of appointments for her. And then also to navigate an overwhelming feeling of I've got to combat a lot of different things that could come against our marriage. So it was like a trifecta of like, you know, a woman's brain is a rabbit trail as is. Like you start thinking through solutions and what this looks like. But it was a very overwhelming day. It was grieving, but it was overwhelming in the sense of like, am I enough? Like, do I have the capability to be enough for my marriage, for the ministry that we were doing at the time, for my daughter? Is God going to provide finances if I quit my job? I mean, I think just like there, all those details came into play. But today, you know, five and a half years later from that diagnosis day, I can just tell you that God has been so faithful and the doctor does not have the last say.
No.
And she's exceeded every expectation and everything that he ever communicated to us that day. And we've just watched her live from miracle to miracle. And
it's incredible.
Sometimes I think we just have faith for like the big miracle of her healing. And I believe absolutely that God can heal her and develop folds in her brain and restore her wholly. But I also believe that we're going to celebrate when we live from miracle to miracle and the small miracles that take place in between.
It's true.
And so God's just been so good to us, taught us so much. And I'm still on this journey of learning. I'm learning from so many people. But she's taught me a lot. She's taught me how to love. love in a new way, for sure.
Yeah. Well, your faith has taught the world how to walk through situations of pain. And I think anytime pain touches our life, it's like you said, it doesn't stay compartmentalized.
Yeah.
It affects every area, our marriage, our dreams, our thoughts, our security and our identity in Christ. Every area is affected by pain. I'll never forget the day that you guys called us when you got the word. Mm. I was with Rich. I remember that moment like it was yesterday. Mm. And, you know, from that moment, we, along with so many other people the world, committed to pray, but only you could walk it out. You know, only you know what it's been like to be in your shoes day in, day out, trusting and believing God. Yeah. For people that are in a place where they're in a place of pain, they're in a place of disappointment, they're in a place where they feel like, where is God in the middle of this?
Yeah.
My life has been turned upside down. What would you say to them today?
Gosh, I mean, first of all, we are so grateful for the community of people, for friends, for people that are not friends we've never met before, friends from afar, for the people in the community that have journeyed with us. And I think that is a huge part of it. What I would say to people is don't go through it alone, because we are meant to live life in community, connected to people. And pain is relative. Pain is inevitable. I think pain happens in life, but it's all how we respond to it. Maybe there's someone that has a different diagnosis to their child, or someone that struggles with something a lot smaller scale. I think pain is pain. I remember when Georgia was diagnosed, someone came up to us and said, you know, we were really standing with you, we're praying with you. We can relate in some regard, because they had a dog that just passed away. And I remember going home and being challenged by that, that it might not be comparable on the scale. Like, I'm not a pet owner, so I don't know what that feels like. But if it mattered to her, it did matter to God. And I think when you're going through grief or you're going through pain in whatever capacity or whatever level, remember that it matters to God, that God has a big capacity for any pain, for any scenario. And he cares. He's concerned with your care.
That's right.
And also just don't process and walk through that alone. You know, reach out. We're so grateful for the many people that have journeyed with us, prayed with us, encouraged us, stood by us, comforted us in times where we really needed it the most.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But your vulnerability, you made a split-second decision that you weren't going to keep this to yourself, that you're going to immediately share it with the people that you loved and allow them to pray and stand with you. I think that's such a position of strength, that so often times we talk ourselves out of being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I can just say in my own life, like, we waited 8 years for God to do a miracle for us to have a baby. And the first few years, I was so private about it because I felt like I could process it myself. And I look back and I see the patience of the Holy Spirit going, hey, like, I've given you a community. I've given you a family. Just open up and share. You don't have to walk alone.
Yeah.
And I just think for you guys, the moment you opened up that first day, you just going, hey, we need prayers. We need support. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when we isolate ourselves, you know, and when we kind of think, no, I shouldn't share, like the pain is too great or no one can relate with what I'm going through. But you guys shared, and that's really where our strength comes from. And your marriage, I mean, for the doctor to look at you and say 70% of marriages fail, I've had a lot of friends who have had reports like that from different situations that doctors have said, hey, these are the statistics.
These are the statistics.
Like, these are the statistics. How have you kept your marriage protected and strong? Because I know it didn't happen by default. I know that you guys have been intentional and not perfect. None of us are.
Yeah.
But how have you in the day-to-day, like, walking through
the day-to-day.
This? as you're getting genetic tests and as you're, you know, having doctor's appointments and figuring out what school is best for Georgia and praying through the night and going to the hospital unexpectedly time and time again. How have you guys stayed together, not just physically, but your hearts united in this?
Yeah, I think I have to be transparent with him about how I'm feeling and communicate. I mean, communication is like key. So if it's a dark day for Georgia, sometimes it's a dark day for a mama's heart. And I can't just suck it up and say, I'm going to get through this. I have to communicate to Chad where I'm at, what I need practically from him, how we can get through this together. And he's done such a great job of making me feel that I'm not alone, that I'm not just caregiver for Georgia, but that I still have him in my corner supporting me, helping me. I think marriages work across the board. You know, there's opposition, whether it's a sick kid or it's a new move or new jobs. There's challenges in every marriage.
It's true.
You know, there's rarely like the perfect, perfect
doesn't exist.
Yeah, model. I mean, you guys are close to perfect. No. We learn from
doesn't
you.
Doesn't exist.
Chad and I are both strong firstborns too. So we have to be intentional to enjoy it, to enjoy the chaos, to enjoy enjoy whatever God brings. And it's been fun. It's been a fun 9 years. I don't have like all the advice or all the tips, but I think for us, we are intentional about good getaways.
Yes.
And
Miami.
Yes, we're here in Miami getting a getaway.
But you do have a kid attached. You didn't leave them all at home.
No. Well, this one cannot come off. So he/she is here.
He/she is here.
Richery.
Yeah.
Richery is with us. No,
like
but we're enjoying each other for sure. Getaways, laughing, just bringing joy into the home.
I love what you said, enjoy chaos.
Yeah.
Because that just sums it up, right? You've got four kids.
Obviously.
You know, you're planting a church in the heart of LA.
Yeah.
Who knows what tomorrow holds, but it's like, enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy the moment.
There's nothing controlled or perfect about our households. I mean, I just look at these like blogger moms with their hair put together.
Me too.
And their fall to-do lists and all the things that they accomplish to pumpkin patch, to carving pumpkins with their children. And everyone's dressed immaculately. And I just get like, oh my goodness, I would never be able to get through there.
Well, I saw your Instagram video, I think, yesterday, and Mav had like climbed up on the counter in the kitchen. He had a knife and he was cutting himself a piece of cake. And I was like, that's my boy there.
Surviving.
He's your
youngest. No. I think with boys, and especially, there's a lot of energy and there's a lot of dirt and there's a lot of like controlled fighting.
Yeah. But as you raise your kids, what is the most important thing for you to convey? Maybe not just in straightforward conversations, but just like what are your hopes and your aspirations that they grow up knowing about your home, you know?
I mean, first and foremost is that mom and dad love them and that we're with them. We support them. Everything we do stems out of love and generosity because we were first loved. And, you know, our Father in heaven loves us, is generous to us. You know, he wants us to be affirmed and know that he loves us first. So, I think it's just constant affirmation and love and expressing that in different ways. My two boys love to receive love in different ways.
Yeah.
So just learning that. I also think they're so young too. So we're shaping cultures, culture of the home. So that's like a fun thing for Chad and I to establish. Like, what do we want to be known as parents? What do we want our boys to look at us at? It's a fun thing season that we're in is shaping culture of the
home. They're like constantly changing, right? I haven't experienced any of this yet, but Like as soon as you know, they reach one milestone, it's on to the next, and their personalities are evolving.
Always
and
something new. Yeah, always learning to say new funny things. And the 2 year old is it's a wild fun age.
Yeah.
And so just learning how to be intentional with course correcting. All those wild things, but also just really loving them as they grow and as they reach different milestones.
Because the season passes so quick,
totally.
Right? Like we have a lot of young moms in our community.
Yeah.
I talk to different moms in different cities, and it's a tough season.
Yeah.
Because they require so much care and all of your attention. But at the same time, it passes so quick. What would you say to the moms who are like in the trenches right now? Like just trying to get through this baby season.
Oh, well, I just think enjoy it. You really do have to enjoy it. I love that the Proverbs 31 woman, she smiles at her future.
Yeah.
I think you just can't be anxious that you're not a perfect blogger mom, or you're not getting everything done, or maybe your kid is not reaching milestones as fast as another. There's a lot that goes on in a mom's heart as she loves, as she cares, as she gives to her kid. But I just think you have to really smile at the future, and you have to smile knowing that you're doing a good job, and that child is the Lord's in essence, and you can't control every little thing, and you can do your best. You can be a faithful steward of what God has gifted you with, and you can enjoy it. Just be gracious to yourself. And sugar is okay.
Sugar?
Yeah. Bribery is fine.
Donuts are good.
Yeah.
Saturday morning donuts always work with the fam.
Saturday
I love
donuts.
It. Yeah. So you are raising future world changers, but also you're in ministry with your husband, which I can just say after 10 years of doing it alongside Rich, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's really not. It's fun, and I wouldn't take it back for anything, and I love it, and I treasure that we get to build together day in, day out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it can be difficult at times. It can be a challenge, like the communication, like you said.
Yeah.
How have you navigated that over the years? I know there's some women that maybe they're not in the baby season, but they are in ministry with their spouse and going, hey, I need some real wisdom right now as far as how I navigate this thing.
Oh, gosh, Dawn Sheree, I feel like you could speak into this more than I could.
Yeah.
you guys have learned how to co-lead together for so many years without children. So you've learned how to navigate what's best for you guys, how you communicate, how you do things. You've developed
through good and bad experience.
You've developed flow in essence. For us, our flow is always changing because it's changing with season, it's changing with move, it's changing with children.
Yes.
It's changing with more children, and it's changing with more hormones and more children.
More conversations.
More communication. You just have to invest into it. You really do. You have to invest into getting better together. Marriage and ministry can be the best thing, but it can be a very challenging thing.
Yeah, and to develop together while you develop individually, right?
Yeah.
Because you each have specific God-given gifts that God wants to sharpen and strengthen, like, and develop within you.
Absolutely.
But then you also have to have a cohesive vision so that you can run in the same direction.
Yeah.
That's kind of been like a challenge for me along the way, figuring out the rhythm of that, of like, I'm not going to lead the same way Rich is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I can't. If I try to do it, it just doesn't work. And he can't lead the way I can. Like, but we've got to lead together.
That's amazing. I think what helps us, and this is like something that we're both working on right now with added children and busy schedule, and it just doesn't seem like things are slowing down, is that we're both learning how to invest into ourselves. So on a practical level, if that's I need exercise or to be healthier, and if Chad needs to go to the gym 3-4 days a week, like those are just some practical things. But on an emotional level, if we need more time together, more communication, more intimacy, more date nights, and then on a spiritual level, just investing into us as individuals, what we need, you know, if we need more time with Jesus, if we need more quiet time, if we need more rest, I think in all of those areas, body, soul, and spirit, we're just learning how to invest into ourselves. So then when we do come together, we're the best form of ourselves. So then when we're together, we're the best form of us. It seems like so simple, but it's so neglected as life becomes busier and busier.
It is.
And I know I'm a better mom and a better wife and a better pastor's wife and a better pastor if I can just invest into myself. You know, more time in the Bible, more fresh air, better rest, less, you know, less added things that I don't need to be doing.
Right.
I just think you just kind of learn if it's broke, we're going to fix it and we're going to make sure that we're better. And then that makes us better together.
So powerful. And constantly recalibrating. Where do I need to be today?
Make adjustments, make assessments. Yeah, absolutely.
I love, there's so much wisdom there. We have to make those decisions today, not wait until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like our guys say all the time that they want to be better at 70. We've heard them say that for years now.
Well, we're going to be better at 65 because it's a competition.
Exactly. So we're going to be grandmas. We're going to be grandmas, still building church.
That's right.
Exercising, having our time with God. We're going to crush it together. I love it. I'm so thankful to be on this journey with you.
I'm so thankful for your friendship.
I love it. And I'm excited for these guys to be born. Girl, guy, who knows, but guy over here. They're going to be cousins. It's going to be awesome. I'm so glad that you guys joined us today. You know, I think that the wisdom that Julia shared is so practical and yet so powerful that if we don't put off until tomorrow decisions that we need to make today to spend time with God, to take care of ourselves, to speak life over our family and communicate with our spouses, that we create safety for the future.
Yeah.
And God has a great plan for your life. Whatever you're going through today, we want you to know you're not alone. Get connected. Find yourself in community. And watch as God does more than you could ever dream. We love you. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, the best is yet to come.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at VUChurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.